afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. And Bill's giving me hand signals. Oh, there he is. Oh, Bill had no sound.
I had no red light.
My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob is the source of all the music, just so we make sure that the credit goes to the right place. Usually it's blame, but when it comes to the music, it's always credit here, which is nice. All right. So speeding swiftly along, the NFL is dead. There we go. That's all that needs to be said. Ridiculous, those guys hogging up all this news with the inability to honor the flag. What the heck?
Yeah, that's too hard.
The good news is that they're getting bashed fairly severely, so maybe Americans will wake up and withhold their money, because that's always a great way to do it. All right, so our guest today is not in the NFL, although we could probably take him out.
Yeah, he could walk down the line and slap him all into shape.
Yeah, he could get him. Yeah, he's Professor Brad Steiner, and he's written over 30 published books. He's the founder and grandmaster of American Combato. He actually was on with us about a month ago, and we kind of ran out of time and stuff to chat about, so we thought we'd have him back
We didn't run out of stuff to chat about. We just ran out of time.
No, sorry. We ran out of time because we had more stuff to chat about. Yeah,
we had a lot more to talk
about. Okay, thanks. Yeah, all that except opposite. And yeah, he was the former president of the International Stick and Knife Fighting Association in Berlin, Germany. Okay, that's really fun. That's like my favorite thing on the whole resume. Yeah, I used to be the president of the stick and knife fighting thing. Everybody's like, oh, okay, what do you need? Anything you want, you can have it.
Just give me a stick.
Oh, my gosh. Brad, are you in there?
Yes, oh, right here.
Yeah, feel free to pop in anytime. That is my favorite thing, though, however. The stick and knife fighting.
I found myself getting very angry when you brought up the business with the football player failing to acknowledge the flag. I think that's disgraceful, but I also think it's pretty disgraceful that people don't just get up and walk out.
Yeah.
Well, I think some people have. I mean,
there was one
I'm not sure that Kaepernick ever got re-signed. I think he started the whole thing.
He's still looking.
Yeah, and I think he's still looking for a job, and you can't convince me that isn't because of his little one-knee stunt.
Well, they had a whole they had an entire team today. I've got to – yeah, here we go. The Steelers, they all stayed in the locker room. They chose just not to come out at all.
Oh.
Well, I guess they know where they belong.
But you know, and I'm going to get it wrong, but Alejandro, I can get that part right, but his last name is Villanueva? It's not Villanova.
Villanueva.
Villanueva. Okay, see, I knew I was going to get it wrong. He's an Army veteran, U.S. Army veteran, and he was the only guy in the tunnel, like standing at the edge of the tunnel with his hand over his heart, honoring the flag. Mm. So...
he's a member of the Steelers.
It's an interesting statement about the
good on him.
Present state of our culture.
Boy, it really is. I mean, it's when that becomes.
Yeah. Did I say Steelers?
The norm.
Did I not say Steelers?
Which I hope it hasn't.
You had said the Steelers stayed in the locker room. I guess Villanueva came to the
edge of the tunnel. He was at the edge of the tunnel, okay. Out in the stadium, and he was the only person on that entire team.
Right.
Well,
it's like, good on him.
One good apple in the barrel.
Yep, everybody else sucks. So I don't know. It was kind of amazing. I could not. As I was reading down through this, it was interesting because the comments, people were pretty. People are mad about it, which is good.
Well,
about time.
I hope it reflects in their attendance.
Well, it's pretty disgraceful and outrageous that these punks, who otherwise wouldn't be able to earn minimum wage, are wealthy because they're. In a capitalist society, they're making tremendous money, they're getting tremendous accolades, thanks to the very country whose flag they refuse to salute.
Yeah.
But I think we're starting to find that in a lot of different areas. I mean, if you look at the respect that a lot of Hollywood actors, you know, all the elite seem now to...
hating America is the new popularity.
And people want to hear what they think. That's, or maybe they don't. Maybe they just have the podium. But I don't know. My thought is, who cares what they think? You know, their job is to, you know, be an actor and go out and perform and entertain me. I really could care less what their political view is.
Well, contrast them with the people in the entertainment industry during World War II. You could hardly find an actor who was not serving in some capacity in the military.
Yeah, that's true. They all stepped up because that was, gosh, you know, it just used to be what you did. You know, you
and many
you
of them served
country.
With distinction. They didn't just go in and take some MOS where they'd be sitting in a nice, safe office. But we've changed a lot. Our country has changed a lot. And many of our cardinal values are not shared by many of those people here who are benefiting the most from them.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Where do you think that all started, Brad? I mean, this didn't just happen overnight. What do you
honestly
think brought this on? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it started the year this country started in 1776 with Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They whittle away at it. Well, I just was looking at this thing from last week. I couldn't remember what town it was in, but it was a Seattle high school football team. The entire team kneels during the national anthem. But, of course,
there was some team of 8-year-olds that kneeled before a football game the other day.
Yeah, what the hell?
Good God.
It was interesting. Whoever posted it, can you believe this crap? Kids being brainwashed by their fascist teachers. But, you know, and initially it's like, yeah, that must be it. But I got to tell you, if I would have done that, actually, you would think it would be my dad that would have clobbered us. He would have, but that would have been after my mom. Like, my mom would have turned into Jackie Joyner.
Well, you would have.
She would have raced.
You'd have been taken off the team.
My mother would have raced out there.
A fraction of a second. Oh.
My mom would have raced out there and pummeled every single one of those kids.
So the question is, where's the parents?
What's going on at home?
You know, where's the parents when this stuff is allowed to happen out on the field?
Beyond that, where is the appreciation for a country that is anomalous in the history of the world and that has been as moral as any nation has ever been? Where is the appreciation for America? All this slamming of America, the slamming of our president, for what? 99% of what's being said is just outright lies and distortion. And by what right do these people get away with this? Because so many are brainwashed and brain dead, they just accept it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think they... I don't know if they even understand what it all means. They think it's
well, they
some...
have a responsibility to understand what it means. If you grow up in a totalitarian state, you don't have any choice about having the norms, in quote, pounded into your head. It's done by the state. In this country, you should appreciate it because you feel the benefits of it as you grow up. You're living with freedom. The very freedom to not respect the flag is yours thanks to those people who do respect the flag and who fought for it.
Well, I think, too, a lot of these so-called protesters, you know, they look at what's happening in places like Venezuela and they justify their actions by looking at that and saying, see, it's okay to rise up against an evil government. Well, that is truly an evil government, and yes, they should rise up and try to do something. That's not the case here. I mean, I'll bet you if you took a survey let's just say 25 people in that crowd, how many of them have traveled abroad and spent any time in a foreign country and felt the freedoms that they don't have that we have and we enjoy here in the United States? And I'm not talking just about, you know, countries like Iraq and Pakistan. I mean, a lot of Western countries over there, you still don't have the freedoms to freedom of speech. You know, you can't speak out against the government. There's a lot of things
taking
you can't
a knee
do.
Is not one of your choices.
Taking a knee, yeah, you'd be getting up on a broken knee. But they don't they don't realize that because I think they've been pampered their whole life, and now that, you know, things didn't go the way they want, they're going to protest. They're going to throw this whole thing out of kilter. It's just insanity.
Absolutely. It reminded me of a student I had from South Africa. He was an attorney. I think they call him a solicitor. Anyway, he was from South Africa, and he had lived for quite a while in communist China. He had done. He was teaching English there. That's how he earned his living while he was there. And he was telling me that you could literally feel the presence of control and surveillance when you were there. You could feel it. You could feel the lack of liberty, the fact that you better toe the mark. Well, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but if these imbeciles and morons who refuse to acknowledge what this country is and what it's given them continue on their path and continue to breed little creatures like themselves, we'll get there.
Yeah, you're right. We'll find out what it's like. It's interesting, here was someone posted, the same crowd that shouts take a knee, that take a knee is free speech, supports Antifa beating in people's heads at free speech rallies. It's like, classic. All right, we have to take a really quick break and then we'll come right back. We have a caller on the line for you. And, do that first? Oh, I guess we're taking the caller on the line. We're not taking a break, so forget about capitalism. It's postponed. we got Round Mountain Bob in Reading. Fire away, Bob.
Okay, Aaron. Yes, this is Round Mountain Bob on our sports. I played sports for 13, 14 years and going through school and before. And, you know, all these patty cake kids, they claim that the white man has done them so much harm. Who has given them a free ride in college? Who has given them a place in a professional football league? And this is the way we get repaid? They will not salute our flag. They will not stand up for our national anthem. I think the President of the United States said the right thing. Fire some of them and you watch. They'll all get in line. I'm tired of hearing these crybabies making millions of dollars a year. And what do they do to help America with their millions other than blow it? Nothing.
No, you're right, Bob.
What do you really think, Bob?
How much more do you want me to tell you, Aaron? You know,
we're all thinking the same thing.
People here in America get tired of these people whining and crying, and they got everything for free.
Yep. I mean, totally agreed. And you know, okay, a little protest, I get it. You want to have a thing, you know, great. I respect your right to have a comment on something, but this business of, you know, now little kids and everything else, they're setting an example for other people in the country. What kind of an example is that? Just terrible.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you said fire 'em, it reminded me of a movie called The Replacements.
Okay, we have the right, I think, you know, to just don't turn on TV. Do not watch football anymore.
We don't.
And you watch then what the owners of these teams do, because they get revenue to pay these people. And when they don't have revenue, they're not going to put up with this baloney.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Kaepernick didn't get re-signed, is people were so outraged by that. The teams looked at him and thought, you know, that guy's a liability and we don't really need that. We're
that's
trying
right.
to increase our attendance, and why put somebody out there that has the possibility of causing controversy? That's the last thing they want. So
yeah, here's some guy named Arthur Schwartz. Get up off your knee and redistribute your millions of dollars to make change. Disrespecting our flag is cheap activism. It's like, boom. All right, Bob. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
All right. You have a great one. You guys are doing a good job.
Thanks a lot. Sorry to raise your blood pressure here on a lovely, balmy Sunday afternoon. We're going to have everybody all jacked up. We'll be right back. And this song has never been more perfect. You have reached wethepeopleradio.us. If you get us online, if you want to give us a call, it's 530-605-4567.
What shall we do about them?
going to wait for the spelling part.
Yeah, if you're going to put it on a poster, make sure you spell it right.
Inside joke. Yeah.
Yeah, was that a school protest? Somebody said, we want respect, and they
it was some little kids gave the local congressman a bunch of postcards. One had a picture of one of them giving him the finger, classy, except the hand was drawn incorrectly. It didn't have a thumb. It had five fingers, which was a little weird. so maybe it didn't mean what I thought. And the other one said, women deserve respect, R-E-S-P-E-T. So... we concluded from that we need more Aretha Franklin in school. so we'll play her often now, thanks to the flag thing.
You're off the poster.
Maybe some of these kids can protest correctly. I don't know, Brad. Why do you think it is that this just sends people into orbit?
Brad? I think people have gone off their rockers. Honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
You know, I mentioned earlier, and I think I was overridden by the commercial, but in the field of self-defense, which is, of course, mine, I've seen and felt the effect of the deterioration of our culture insofar as people blurring the line between righteous use of force and criminal use of force. There's this idiotic notion of zero tolerance for violence, for example, in schools. Now, I certainly understand that you don't want kids fighting and all this, and it should be regulated, but when you chastise a child for fighting back, or when you set rules that children may not fight back, you've created an atmosphere in which you've got what you've got today. Kids committing suicide when they're tormented by their fellows. They don't have any recourse. The teachers are totally indifferent. The administration doesn't care. And the children are left to just fend for themselves, and they can't really do any fending because if they swing a fist in the face of somebody who's been tormenting them, they get kicked out of school. What a position to leave children in. People in living in major cities are very often in trouble when they defend themselves successfully with firearms. And nobody seems to bat an eye when a law enforcement officer is injured or shot in the line of duty, but everybody seems to demonstrate and gather and whine their empty heads off when some criminal is shot by a police officer. We're upside down in our value system. We were more sensible in the old West. Back then, nobody knew the difference between martial arts and Marshall Dillon. But the average male, the average female, was much better able to defend him or herself and more willing to do it and take responsibility for it than they are today.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I think a big part of the problem today, too, is... people feel that if they are offended by something, if that is offensive, if your clothes are offensive, or if your speech is offensive, or if that statue is offensive, that gives you the right to demonstrate, and in a lot of cases violently, against what offends you. Because, heaven's sakes, don't offend anybody.
Well, they've lost track of that little fine line between speech and action.
Right.
Well, that is the philosophy of a savage. And anyone who holds that view and who acts upon that view should be dealt with in the most severe way that his victims can do it. People need to be prepared to deal with this insanity. Because you're absolutely correct. People are targeted because of some misconception about the way they looked at someone, maybe standing in line somewhere or walking down the street. They are targeted because they said something that offended some room temperature IQ moron. And they have to deal with this on a daily basis. Violence today is not normally the result of something that we can understand to be a reason. For example, well, this guy was always starting trouble with me, and he did this or he did that. No, it's just a random decision. I don't like that person. I'm a tough guy, and I'm going to go after him. And look at the knockout punching game.
Oh, yeah.
Game. This is considered a game. I think somebody who considers that a game should lose that game. Every time he tries, and I don't think he tried more than once, if he tried his knockout punch on someone who was prepared to defend himself and who sent this guy to the hospital for 6 or 8 months.
And this is like when they, groups of kids walk down the street
him.
And they just like...
They just blindside him and hit him and try to knock him out with one punch.
Yeah, and most people are not even paying attention when they walk down the street.
You
How many of them
expect that.
Are texting or listening to some insane jungle music? Or, they're just totally distracted. They're not alert. They don't depend upon themselves anymore for protection, which people generations ago needed to do. And people don't feel they need to do it. They're constantly taught, well, go to the police, tell somebody, go here, go there. But never, never raise a hand to anybody. And God forbid... Don't carry a knife or a gun. That's terrible. We can't have that. Well, the fact of the matter is we've produced a society in which those who are victimized very rarely possess the mental set and the technical skill to handle a situation.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't know. Do you think it'll swing back real hard the other way? Or will we just go until... It just doesn't make sense anymore.
I don't know what would cause it to swing back. There seem to be an awful lot of people who are very comfortable with the status quo and who are cashing in on it. And there seems to be no real objection. The people that I teach are all hardworking, decent human beings. I've got doctors, business people, lawyers, teachers, engineers, and they're a small, hardcore minority who, almost to a man or to a woman, verify that their belief in their right to defend themselves and to do so severely when necessary is not shared by their fellows, by their colleagues. They are in a minority believing that they have a right to defend themselves and to do so unceremoniously and fully. They don't have to call the police if they're attacked. Now, I believe in calling the police. I would certainly rather the police take care of things than I be left to do it. But you cannot realistically call the police, in quotes, when somebody is trying to beat your head in. You have to be prepared to deal with that. Somebody kicks your door down, and this is happening, home invasions are epidemic, you have to deal with it. Yes, call the police whenever possible, of course, but the police are a reactive force. They do the best they can, but they cannot protect you all the time, and they cannot protect you most of the time. You are on your own, and people don't want to be on their own anymore.
No.
There are some people who do, and those are the people who study with me and who share my philosophy. And I personally believe that every individual should have the ability to defend him or herself. This is very fundamental. After all, almost no one in this country, as insane as things have gone, would disagree if you tell them, well, everybody who's not killing people has the right to life. The right to life is sacred. But with the right to life comes the right to defend your life. There can be no right to life if you lack the right to defend your life. That's like having the right to property, but you have no right to keep it.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Well, that's kind of coming, too. I mean, it's amazing how many...
Here.
Yeah, it's amazing it's how many here. People think that because someone has more than they do, that they owe it to them. And this isn't kind of an this isn't isolated so much anymore.
No, exactly. Well, this is really collectivism in in the thinking of the people. It's been introduced in increments over the years, and it's to be expected. But there are still people, and thank God for them, who believe in independence, who believe in self-reliance, and that certainly has nothing to do with taking the law into your own hand. I mean, any students of mine know I constantly urge them, whenever possible, call the police. Whenever possible, avoid trouble. But make no mistake about it, when you are confronted by the option of being maimed or killed or retaliating in kind, you should choose retaliation, and you need the skill and mindset to do it well. It's very important that people, particularly today, in today's climate, where you've got people who will attack you, pardon me, who will attack you because you looked at them cross-eyed. You can't reason with someone like that. You can't reason, for example, in the latest newsletter I pointed out, there's been a resurgence of interest in a game that was popular in New York City years ago, and that is pushing people on subway tracks. This is done for entertainment. You've got these monsters who just shove people onto railroad tracks. Now, anybody who's doing that certainly should be taken care of, eliminated, just get rid of them. I mean, this is not a human being living in human society. This is a monster, and we should get rid of monsters. These attacks, pushing people on subway tracks, knockout punching, going after someone to make your bones with a street gang, being a tough guy, and all of this is sick. And the people who are victimized by it need to be able to learn how to deal with it. I'm not advocating violence except in retaliation when violence comes to you.
Yeah,
if you can't defend yourself, you're sunk.
You're doomed. I always like your little quote line, when your attacker absolutely positively must be stopped immediately. That's a great slogan. We have to take a really quick break.
Exactly.
We'll be back with our guest, Brad Steiner.
You are alone when you are under attack. The only person who you can count on when you're under attack is you.
True story.
For the time being.
We'll be right back. We've got to take a little break for capitalism. We will not be taking a knee. No knees will be taken today on this program ever. How's that? Ever. Yeah, don't get me started on that one. When you're a man, we're not.
I love that song, "Coward of the County."
I like it too. We're not training men anymore. What's up with that? Being a man seems to be very, very unpopular these days.
Yeah, well, I guess it takes effort to be one, and people are effort adverse.
Well, it's like we want to turn all the men into girls, you know.
Dress them like girls.
Conceited.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Sorry, you guys can't say that. I can say that.
Yeah. Hey,
it's ridiculous.
Brad, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that people can do, or maybe what are some of the things people are doing already that are making them a target out on the street? Give us some ideas on what criminals look for when they pick somebody out.
Sure. Absolutely. Years ago, I think it was Science Magazine, had an article about what criminals look for and how they pick their victims. And a very interesting experiment was done at a prison. A collection of photographs showing people in their everyday activities, walking down the street, in a mall, at a store, and so on, was a collection of pictures of people, and they took about, I think it was about 12 or 15 individuals who were incarcerated for violent crimes. None of them knew that the others were being interviewed, and they were shown these pictures of these people. And the correlation between the criminals, I would attack that guy, he looks like an easy role. I wouldn't attack him. I'd go after her. That girl I'd leave alone. It was almost exact. And the conclusions drawn from that study indicated, not really surprisingly, that the person who walks like he knows what he's doing and where he's going, he's alert, he stands upright, he's paying attention to his environment. He walks quickly up and down stairs. He's just giving the impression of being physically able and alert. This is a person that is very, very rarely targeted by violent criminals. Usually when someone like that is gone after, there's something personal involved. But that gives you a clue. If you look like you are withdrawn and awkward, you will be perceived as such. And, of course, the criminal element views that as grist for their mill. A related factor, when people travel, very often you can tell who is and who is not a tourist when you're in another country. I grew up in the Bronx, and I spent a great deal of time in Manhattan over the years I lived there. And it was always very easy for me, even as a kid, to notice who's a tourist. Not because they had luggage, but just the way they looked, the way they walked, the way they looked at things, the way they spoke amongst themselves. And, of course, criminals who target tourists were able to pick them out and so on. But in a similar way, violent offenders pick out people who look and who project the appearance of being withdrawn, distracted, shy, unsure of themselves, and so on. Now, obviously, you want more than an appearance. I mean, it's best to be able to back it up. But that will certainly, if present, the right demeanor, deter a certain amount of violence. The thing that comes, and it's so very valuable from training in effective self-defense, and I've seen this happen with students, is people will develop a more outgoing demeanor when they're in the street. They learn to be more alert, to look around. And with their growing ability to physically handle violence should it come their way, comes a demeanor and a persona that deters violence to begin with. Very often, if you just look at somebody who is intending trouble, and you notice him, and he sees that you notice him, and you don't look intimidated by it, sometimes that will distract the criminal and send him elsewhere. He's on the wrong page. I had an interesting experience with a young lady who was a student of mine quite some time ago. This was back in the 90s. She worked downtown Seattle, and she was at a bus stop after work, so it was fairly crowded. There were all women there. They were standing around. And this freak, male freak, came walking up to the group. And he was making comments to each of the women. He didn't touch anybody, and he didn't initiate any violence at all. But he was just an obnoxious thing, and he was walking past each of the women. My student said she had already planned anything. If this guy raised a hand to her, she was going to take him out. And she was looking at him. I guess she was staring daggers at him. because she said when he passed the line and he came to her, he just looked at her and he walked away. He didn't even say a word. Now, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that will deter every type of creature, but the presence in your mind of the knowledge that you can defend yourself and the awareness that paying attention to your surroundings, being situationally alert, not losing touch with the fact that your security depends upon you, and maintaining a bearing that indicates confidence in yourself will go a long way toward deterring any physical attack.
Right. Now, what about the way you dress, the, you know, jewelry, that kind of thing? Does that, is that?
Well, yeah, I believe that people have the right to dress and look any way they want. Within the bounds of decency,
sure,
of course, but it is inescapable in certain places, certainly. For example, I think if you're walking down the street with a diamond necklace in Bozeman, Montana, I don't think you'll even get a second look. But I wouldn't walk down certain neighborhood streets in New York City or L.A. or Detroit or San Francisco with that. So you do have to be sensible about how you look. If you're walking down the street counting $100 bills, well, if it's your money honestly earned, I think you have a right to do it, but I think it's pretty foolish.
Not a good idea.
Right. And also the same thing applies to women. I think a woman has the right to dress any way she wishes and to go anywhere she pleases, but in certain instances, clothing can attract the wrong kind of attention, and they should be aware of that and conduct themselves accordingly. Years ago, there was an instance in New York City. It was very horrible. It was known as the Central Park Jogger. This young woman who was a very successful, I believe she was a stockbroker or something like that, young lady, she was jogging in Central Park in the middle of the night. Now, her right to do that, I don't question. The wisdom behind it, I challenge completely. Unless you are carrying a Thompson submachine gun with an extra 50-round drum, I don't think you should be doing that. I wouldn't go in Central Park today in New York City at night because I would anticipate the need to defend myself, and I don't want to do that unless I absolutely have to. So I'd avoid it. Things like this. When you go jogging, I think you should be armed. Now, 99% of the time, I suppose, people jog and nothing ever happens, but you've got to be aware. Certain people are targeted more than others. People who, as you say, are wearing anything that is conspicuously valuable. Women who are dressed in an excessively provocative way. Men who look wealthy, carrying an attaché case. There are places to avoid and things to avoid that common sense should tell you. You just want to be careful. We're not talking about your right to do something. We're talking about what makes a lot of sense. If you're sitting in a restaurant and three punks walk in and they're making it, they're boisterous and they're looking for a fight and they want trouble, well, you have a perfect right to sit at your table and finish your meal, and if they come to you, then you handle it. My advice, if you're in a restaurant or anywhere else and troublemakers show up, leave. Yes, you have a right to be there, but your right won't protect you. And the need to protect yourself, you will have to take care of. You'll have to handle that if the need arises. But you should be doing everything humanly possible to avoid violence. I always tell people, avoidance is the first principle of self-defense. The second one is preemption. And if somebody does attack you, well, then you have to be prepared. You turn them inside out, do what you have to do. But try to avoid it. The opportunity to get involved in a fight, the opportunity to be targeted, it's all around us everywhere in any major city and in some minor cities.
Actually, unfortunately,
too.
In the minor cities,
common
it's,
sense, avoid trouble.
Yeah, it's very, very much come, I think, all of our direction, especially out here. We have to take a really quick break. We will come back with our guest, Brad Steiner. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Fighting words. So our guest, Brad Steiner, he's written numerous magazines, including American Handgunner, Combat Handguns, Security Soldier of Fortune, and Cavalier. That's a fun assortment.
Yeah.
So, it's a Brad, very fun assortment.
What can you tell us about, I see a lot of people walking down the street, looking at their cell phone, and I see a lot of people with, like, earbuds or headphones on, totally unaware of their surroundings. To me, that just seems like you're asking for it. Am I wrong?
Well, I think you're obviously correct. If I was a mugger, I would want to go after someone who looked to be distracted. I have two students, brothers, who have been with me for many years, very, very nice fellows, and they told me of something that happened in Hawaii. This was years ago, but I remember it very clearly. A friend of theirs who they had known in college was a football player, huge guy, very, very physical, very competent, able to take care of himself, was coming out of a hotel. And he had earphones, he was listening to music. He was jumped, and he was beaten. And he was beaten so badly, he almost died. He was on life support in a hospital in Hawaii before he could come home to the States. Now, had that guy been walking out of the hotel and looking around, he would, A, have probably not have been targeted, or B, if he had been targeted, he probably would have been able to handle himself since he would have seen it coming and he was their physical superior by any standard you care to name. And this is what happens when you're mentally unprepared. I place a lot of emphasis on mental conditioning when I teach students, and I always explain to them that mental conditioning and physical technique must run concurrent. There's no point in developing the physical ability to handle violence without having the mental conditioning. And part and parcel of that mental conditioning is alertness, situational awareness, paying attention. Paying attention because you understand you are not immune to violence. No one is. Some people really don't think it can happen to them. You would be amazed at how many people are students of martial arts and don't believe it could happen to them. And if anybody trains with me, they get disabused of that misconception very early on in their training. And that awareness, yes, you could be targeted. Pay attention. Know what's going on around you. If you want to listen to music, go home, relax, and listen to music. But for heaven's sake, not while you're walking down the street, texting. This is crazy stuff. All you're doing is distracting yourself from what you need to be paying attention to, and that is your own safety and security. Forgetting about being mugged, what about getting hit by a car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you hear about the guy who was looking at his phone and, you know, walks off a cliff or something. He
falls into a manhole.
I was going to say they win the Darwin Award every year.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's totally.
Exactly. Who do you think is going to be your guide?
Yeah, right. We need to promote your coursework, and I was just telling Bill I've been remiss. I still haven't ordered it, but I need to because I think it would be super.
One thing I'd like
super
to say,
interesting.
If I may, about what I teach. I teach a comprehensive martial art. People will study unarmed weapons, modern weapons, mental, physical conditioning, but it does not take a great length of time before someone who wants to be able to do so can defend himself.
Hold that thought, Brad. We're getting cut off by the news. Hopefully it'll be newsworthy. When we come back, we're going to learn more about that. No, please don't shut up. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.